Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we're so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Walk Across the Room is the theme that we have for this month, and we are commencing with a Look Up campaign. Everybody say Look Up. Look Up campaign. So what is this Look Up campaign? This Look Up campaign is you scan that as per the little video over there. You scan the QR code, you sign up, and once a day at different times, you will get a text saying, look up, what do you see? This is, remember, we're doing the whole walk across the room. We're doing the whole let's reach out into our community. So when you get that text, you stop. And you ask God to help you see the person in front of you the way He sees that person. Then you ask God if He wants to give you a word of encouragement, or He wants to give you to send you over to go and pray for that person, or just to commence with a conversation with them. I think this is really good because we want to create a culture, and we are creating a culture where we are externally focused and not internally focused. Thanks, guys. We are externally focused and not internally focused. Yeah, that's great. That's great. I like a little bit of feedback. So, scan the QR code. You'll get a text for the next 3 weeks. Only for 3 weeks, you'll get this text of, look up, what do you see? And we are waiting for the testimonies to come in. Yep. We are waiting for you all to bring your testimonies in and to let us know how God has used you, what the conversations were, and also, how many people have given their lives to Jesus? Amen? Is that good? Great. Got your Bibles? Grab your Bibles out. Those of you who don't know me, we've got a lot of visitors. I'm the location pastor here with my beautiful wife, Paulina. And we love this house. We love the people in this house. We are loved well. We are a family. And we're glad that you're visiting us. And you are more than welcome to become part of our family. Walk Across the Room is a series we've started. This is driven by our most amazing Belinda Abdelmalek, who is our evangelism pillar head, as well as outreach. She oversees all of evangelism and outreach. And she put this the different titles together for this month with us focusing on how do we reach out to those in the world. The scripture that we have is Mark 16:15, which talks about going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. I'm not sure if you are aware yet, but we are called to be a loving presence in our communities. You and I are called to be a loving presence in our community. Why? Because the gospel is good. Yes, the gospel is good, number one. And number two, the gospel is loving. We serve a loving God. We serve a loving Father. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. We have a loving God. So the gospel is good. Therefore, you and I are called to be a loving presence. Jesus' command to go into all the world is more than just an instruction. It's actually a divine commissioning. Divine commissioning. What do I mean? It's an active, spirit-empowered invitation to partner with heaven in advancing God's kingdom by bringing the gospel to the nations, resulting in salvation. It's more than just words on a page. It's a divine by God Himself. It is Jesus who is saying this. God Himself is saying this. Go and make disciples of all nations. Go and preach the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. There is the word go. Now, this week has been a bit of a crazy week. Friday morning, I was woken up at 12:12 a.m. Yep, 12:12 a.m., not p.m., a.m. I lay in bed for about 4 hours trying to solve the world's problems. Did it help? No, it didn't. Then I got onto 20 Joseph Street. For those of you who are visiting, we are busy renovating our own building out in Joseph Street in Blackburn North. We're about to move in there in a couple of months' time. But as I'm lying in bed, I'm thinking about bins. Where are we going to put all our rubbish? We need bigger bins. I'm thinking about bollards. How are we going to control the crowds that are going to be coming? I'm thinking about the garden that we're about to spend a lot of money on to plant. How are we going to water them? Because I don't think there's any taps on the outside. I'm thinking about the baptismal font, which we're going to use next week, by the way. If you haven't been baptized yet, you want to be baptized, make sure you scan the QR code or go to the info booth. But it's like, how are we going to fill the baptismal font? Are we going to have to carry buckets? It's going to take quite a long time. Poor Shelly-Ann and Josh. Or are we going to have a tap? Well, where's the tap? These are the thoughts that are going through my head, yeah? And then at 2:15 a.m., I start thinking about Sunday, today. And I'm like, can I go to sleep, please? And it's like Holy Spirit's, no, let's talk about Sunday. I'm like, really? Yeah. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. I'm like, okay, go into all the world. And a couple of things stood out for me. Go all the world. Go all the world. So I started pondering about this, and I started, got Holy Spirit and myself, we were having this convo, we go back and forth, and who knows that when you partner with Holy Spirit, you get supernatural downloads, yeah? Because He is very supernatural. If you didn't know that, that's some information to know about. So I get these revelations, and now because I'm getting these revelations, I'm thinking to myself, I can't forget this, and I'm repeating it over and over in my head. Who knows that that does not help you sleep? Yeah? So I can't forget this. So one of the revelations is this. You ready for it? God instructs, we do, miracles happen. God instructs, we do, miracles happen. But JJ, you've said this before. I know I've said it something similar, but I haven't said it this way. This was my revelation the other morning. God instructs, we do, miracles happen. When you look at the scripture, go is the instruction. What are we to do? Preach the gospel. We have to do that. We have to be obedient, and then what happens? The miracles take place. So here's the scripture that I want us to look at, and I want to highlight a couple of the miracles that take place. Let's read it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized, there's that word, if you need baptism to be baptized, will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs, verse 17, and these signs will follow those who believe. Here comes the list of miracles. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will take up serpents. They will drink anything deadly. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. There's a number of miracles right there. There's a number of supernatural stuff that is happening. What happens when you go into the world and preach the gospel to all the nations and they believe? This is what can take place. There's salvation. Who knows? Salvation is supernatural. But folks, it doesn't stop there. The miracles continue. Demons will be cast out. My gosh, that is supernatural, right? Speaking in new tongues. Whoa, that is not normal. Because you know what? Those new tongues that we speak in, especially all the Pentecostals, is only Jesus can understand them. Only Holy Spirit can understand them. The person next to you can't. Who knows that that is very supernatural. And then it says, if they take up serpents. Take up serpents? Man, when I see a serpent or a snake, I run a mile. I don't leave Paulina behind. She can deal with it. I'm gone. I'm standing on the table. I am squealing like a girl, like my daughter. She's in the room. Right. I saw that lip, but put away that lip. Anyway, the Greek verb here, take up, actually means removing or taking away something bad. All right, so take up is taking away something bad. Now, we always think of serpents that it refers to snakes as per Acts 28 verses 3 to 6 where Paul was bitten by the viper on his hand, bitten by the viper, but he suffered no harm. Hold on. I want to expand our thought of this whole thing of serpent. You see, because serpent can actually symbolize demonic forces. We need to know these things. It symbolizes demonic forces. So what are we saying? All the enemy schemes. Where do you get that in scripture? Luke 10:19. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. Clearly that word hasn't become a revelation to me yet. I run. I don't tread on them, yeah? But anyway, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. What is this symbolizing? Demonic forces and that basically, or the enemy scheme. Another thing that we need to know about these serpents is it can also stand figuratively for wicked people. Oh, now you're treading on thin ice. No, I'm not. Matthew 23:33 says, "Ye serpents, ye generation of vipers." That's in scripture. Hello, this is not me. So what is this viper thing or this serpent thing referring to? It's implying that believers will have authority over all opposition, persecution, and those with deceptive or evil intentions. That is pretty cool. Are we getting this? All right, I'm getting a couple of nods. Right, love it. All right, let's move on. In the scripture, that you will drink poison and no harm. Drink poison, no harm. That is supernatural. And lastly, you will lay your hands on the sick and they will recover supernaturally. All of this, not supernaturally, they will recover. That is supernatural. Now, all of this is where heaven actually comes and invades earth in each circumstance and brings to earth what is in heaven. It brings actually heaven into alignment with itself. The natural is impacted by the supernatural. The natural is impacted by the supernatural. But what I want to point out is this. Where did it all start? Let's go to the beginning of the scripture. Where did it all start? With you and me. Going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. It starts with you and I. It started with the disciples going into all the world. It starts with you and I going into all the world and preaching the gospel to all creatures, to all people. Then it follows. You getting this? Yeah? So, there we have a bit of a responsibility. Repeat after me. God instructs. We do. Miracles happen. Say to your neighbor, God instructs. You do. Miracles happen. Say to your other neighbor, wake up, JJ's talking. All right, so that's the first revelation. Our first revelation is God instructs, we do. God instructs, how does he instruct? Scripture, Holy Spirit. We do that, miracles happen. This is part of the obedience, yeah? We need to be obedient. All right, here is my second revelation of all the world. The second revelation is this. It's not far off, it's close as. Now, hey, you get this thought in the middle of the night. This is be about around 3 o'clock in the morning. It's not far off, it's close as. Okay, Holy Spirit, can you just expound on that a little bit? And so he does. But before we go into what he revealed to me, I want us to look at how we normally interpret all the world. When we hear all the world, we actually firstly think it's geographical. And that's correct. It is actually correct. In biblical times, the world often referred to the Roman Empire. But Jesus' command here, you've got to understand, suggests a global mission. It's not just limited to Israel. It's not just limited to the Jews. This aligns with Matthew 28:18-19, where Jesus commands the disciples to make disciples of all nations. That's correct. So that's geographical. All right. Another interpretation would be people groups. All right. We've heard this before. People groups. We've got to go to the islands and meet the unreached people groups, the ethnos. That is also correct. That is also a correct interpretation. The focus is not just on the land, it's also on people groups. And we see this in Matthew 24:14. Jesus says the gospel must be preached to all nations, ethnos. Okay, so referring to the ethnic groups, that not just the political nations. This aligns with Revelation 7:9, where a great multitude of every nation, tribe, people, and language or tongue stands before the throne. Very biblical. But here it comes. My second revelation, it's not far off, it's close as, was in regards to the word world. You see, the word world goes beyond the physical geography, it goes beyond the people groups. Think about it. And this is where I want to challenge you. This is where I was challenged. It goes beyond the people groups. It goes beyond the geography. World actually refers to the individual person. It refers to people. Why do you say this, JJ? Well, John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the the world. What is he referring to? People. People. He doesn't love the earth, the soil, the dust. He loves you and me. For God so loved you, me, that he sent his son to die for you and me, not for the dust. Are we getting this? All right. So, all the world in Mark 16, 15 is then a comprehensive call to reach every person in every place across every sphere and walk of life. It's about the person, not the place. Revelation, light bulb. So it's not, so this revelation of it's not far off, it is as close as, it's not just in another nation. It's right here in front of you. You know that Josh lives in his own little world. So do you. So do I. Go into all the world. Get into his world. Uncomfortable, yeah? Yeah, wait, there's more coming. There's more coming. Let me elaborate. When I am told to go into all the world, it also means getting into your space. Don't get too close. You're in my space. Ah, Jesus says, get into the space, peoples. What is the enemy trying to bring? The lie of don't get into my space. Don't get into my space. God's saying, get into the space. Get into the world. Get into the world. It's about people. It's about people. It means getting involved in that person's life. This goes beyond our comfort zone. This goes beyond, this goes about laying down my preferences and getting into your space and face, James. Space and face. It's awkward, yeah? Anybody feeling awkward right now? I know my wife is. Wife, put your hand up. Let the truth set you free. Because now we go, well, I'm not actually wanting to hear this. Or we go, oh, I'm not actually wired that way. I said that for many, many years. Evangelism, I'm not wired that way. It's not what the scripture's telling me. Just want to say, it's not my personality. Well, I just want to say, the challenge that I want to put forward to you all and everybody listening to me is Jesus did not put a disclaimer in the front of, if you feel comfortable, go into all the world. It would have been nice, but he didn't do it on purpose. He wants us to go into the world. Yeah? The other challenge, and this is a reality that I want you to know as well, is that when he knitted Psalm 139, he knitted you in your mother's womb. He formed you in your mother's womb. He wrote up all the days of your life in his book before there was one. I just want to say this. He already had in mind when he was busy forming you in your mama's womb that you would be his agent of change. He already had in his mind when he knitted you in mama's womb that you would be the one that would walk across the floor in the church foyer, walk across the room in the church foyer, that you would be the one that when you drive to the football field, that you would walk across the room to the new family that has just moved into the community. He already had in mind that you would be the one who, when you fly across the nation, that you would walk across the room to do what? To preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't go, I choose you, I don't choose you, I choose you, I don't choose you, I choose you, I don't choose you, I choose you. He went, I'm knitting you. This is your commissioning. Go into all the world, yours and mine. You see, because this call was to them, he said to them. Who was the them then? Who were the disciples? The them then were the disciples of the day, correct? Question, who are the disciples of today? This is for you and I, right now. This is for you, this is for me. I want you to recognize another thing. This command is not just for pastors and missionaries. Thank the Lord. Because I have heard that pastors just sit and drink coffee the whole day, all day. It's not true. Not this one, not that one. The others do. No, I'm only kidding. That's meant to be a joke, people. Laugh about it. Thank you. Ha, ha, ha. But it's not a command just for pastors and missionaries. It's a command for them. For them. For the disciples of the day. You see, God has already equipped you. He's already wired you, and He has now, in this season, positioned you in the place that you were meant to be to bring the gospel. Oh, I'll wait until I get a new job. No. Maybe you need to first preach the gospel to one person there before that door opens for you here. Maybe you have an assignment where you are currently are that you have not yet fulfilled, that you need to fulfill before He releases you into the next assignment. JJ, you're intense today. I'm passionate. Very passionate. You are equipped, you are wired, you are positioned right there where you are, in your workplace, in your school, in your uni, in your city, in your family, in your friends, in your neighborhood. The anointing is on you to bring the gospel, which results in transformation right where you are. Good preaching, JJ. I have a revelation for you. Anybody want the revelation? I'm giving it to you anyway, so don't put up your hand. God has placed His Spirit upon you. Everybody do this. That's the pneuma, the breath of God. It's in your lungs, Holy Spirit. Right. He has placed the anointing upon you. His Spirit is upon you. He has anointed you already to preach the gospel. You are not alone in this calling. Every step you take in obedience, God has already gone before you. Let me clarify. He is the God of yesterday. Everybody say yesterday, today, and forevermore. That means that yesterday He was there. You might not have noticed it, but He was there. He is here today, but He's in there in tomorrow already. He's already there. He is the God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. In other words, it doesn't matter what you think. He has already gone before you. You are not alone. You see, God is busy opening doors. Doors that you think, that you fear will never open. He is opening them. But if you don't approach it, He's opening it. God is softening hearts. You think, oh no, you know, my mother's heart, her heart is so hardened. My mom's heart was very hardened before she passed on. But let me tell you, it was on her deathbed that her heart softened. And she recommitted her life to Jesus. I led her in the salvation prayer. I made sure it happened. Mom, she went into a coma. Mom, you got to pray this. Just before she said, I accept you as Lord and Savior of my life. She fell asleep back into coma. I shook her. I was desperate. Mom, you got to pray this. She prayed it. What am I saying? I'm saying God softens hearts. But you have to approach. Go. You have to. I can't do it for you. We all have our own assignments. Why do you need to go? Why do I need to go? Why does every believer on this planet, some 3 billion of them, why do they need to go? Because of this, the scope of the commission is all the world. It's all the world. Jesus didn't say, stay and wait for people to come to you. He didn't say that. Jesus didn't say, oh, let's just send out the missionaries. He said, go into all the world. The gospel is meant to move forward. The gospel is meant to move beyond our comfort zones. The gospel is meant to move into every sphere, every household, every community, every culture, in every nation. And it starts where? Right here. In this building. In that foyer. Why? Why here, JJ? Are we not meant to be out there? You know what? This is your practice ground. Hello. This is your practice ground. What do you mean, JJ? You know what? When you're there, that's your training ground. Thanks, Paulina. When you're there in the foyer, I think my biggest bugbear, my biggest beef is when I'm in the foyer, and that's how come I came in late this morning. I'm meant to be, Shelly Ann cracks the whip, I'm meant to be in here before we start praying. But I walked across the room. I was actually rushing to the door. And there was a lady sitting on the couch by herself who I did not know. And I was like, I've just preached this. And I sat down with her. Guess what? She's a visitor. Guess what? She was actually dedicated in Richmond. She comes a long way. Guess what? I was not rushed to get in here. I knew that she would maybe crack the whip, but I was like, you know what? This is more important. Just to love on this beautiful lady. Then she met the whole family. That's how it should be. I really feel it wasn't me that was going, oh, let me be a good boy. Now it was Holy Spirit going, oi, what are you doing? Okay, sit down. Hi, I'm JJ. Hi. Yeah. If I had not have sat down, I didn't even know she was visiting. If I had not sat down and got to know her story, I wouldn't be able to tell you that she has history with Numa, with Richmond, with the Richmond Temple. How amazing is that? How amazing is that? Between services, met another gentleman who moved away. He's come back. He went to Westfield, to the cinemas. Then he moved very far away, and he's not come back. And I'm like, if I had not have stopped or walked across the room to greet him, I would not have known that. But it's your job, Pastor. You get back. No. It's our job, people. It's our job because it's for them. Jesus said to them. He's not saying to JJ. He's saying to them. All right, I'm moving on. Been there. It's not just about Cambodia. It's not just about India. It's not just about Africa. It's not just about the ends of the earth, the little remote island somewhere where there's not a people. No. It's about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. That was Jesus said. What is Jerusalem? Jerusalem is your vicinity. Your Jerusalem is this. This is Jerusalem is your community where you live. Jerusalem is your neighborhood. Jerusalem is Westfield. Jerusalem is the local Aldi or the local Coles. That's your Jerusalem. Starts here. It didn't go to the ends of the earth and then come back. He said, start here. We need to start. Training ground, outside. Your altar, I'm going to be watching you. James, I'm watching you. Watching you. I'll come in your space, in your face, brother. I hear the Lord saying this. My church has been too comfortable within its 4 hours. I heard this while I was still lying in bed. Friday morning, this must have been about around 4 o'clock. My church has been too comfortable within its 4 walls, but I'm stirring the hearts of my people to move beyond what is familiar. The fields are white for harvest. Do not say, I will go later, for now is the time. The harvesters, that's you and I, the harvesters who step out in faith will see miracles, signs, and wonders as a testimony of my power. That's me. Sign me up. I want to see miracles. I want to see signs. I want to see wonders in this place, in our community. Sign me up. So what do you need to do? Identify, number one, identify where God is calling you to go. It may be on the Why Jesus team, right here in this place. Why Jesus team are the people that look for hands and they take them one side, they give them a Bible, they pray with them. The Why Jesus team. Why do you want to follow Jesus? It might be in your mother's group. It might be at your gym. I heard that Belinda was telling me that we have three of our blokes have a church, gym church. Is it gym church? A gym church. Gym church, is it right? I mean, I didn't even know that, but bring it on. It might be started church in your gym, a life group in your gym. I don't know. It might be your next door neighbor. It might even be another nation. How do you identify where God is calling you? Ask Holy Spirit these questions. What steps to take to have more interaction with unbelievers. I'd be taking a photo of this because these are the questions you can ask Holy Spirit. What are the physical and emotional needs around you that you can reach out to? What are the primary interests of those around you? Why do you need to know these things? So that you can reach out to whoever is in front of you. Lastly, and help you love the things your neighbors are involved in. If your neighbor likes gardening, get involved in his gardening. I'm looking for a mate. Come and help me in my gardening. But these are the questions you can ask. And I want to guarantee you, you ask Holy Spirit those questions, He will give you the answers. Look up. Campaign, look up. Look up. Who's in front of you? What's happening right now? The second thing, what do you need to do? Number one, you need to identify where God is calling you to go. Number two, don't let fear or intimidation stop you. Jesus has already given you the authority. You are sons and daughters of the Most High God. You have Almighty God Himself residing within you, Holy Spirit. You don't have to fear anything, nothing. Thirdly, know Holy Spirit is with you and He has gone before you. I've already explained that. And fourthly, go and preach, share the good news. So all you have to do is ask the question, hey, Holy Spirit, where is God calling me to? It could be wherever, the football field. Don't be fearful because you have to step out. When He gives you, you've got to be obedient. There's obedience in it. And in that act of obedience, you know you're not going alone. Holy Spirit is with you. And then you preach the gospel. You preach the gospel. And the gospel is simple. You got a timer going? The gospel is simple. This is the gospel. Jesus came to earth. He was beaten and crucified, and He died. He was buried. He rose again to bring salvation to all. What He did in my life is beyond the natural. It is actually supernatural. You see, I was abused by 5 boys when I was a child at boarding school. This led me to living a very confused and damaged life as a young adult and even an adult. I allowed alcohol to come and control my life, to cover the pain that I had. I contemplated suicide, not once, not twice, many times. And to this day, I know it was only God who stopped me from doing that. I did not know God then, but now I do. And I know because God had a purpose for my life that I wouldn't be standing here if He hadn't have stopped that. So I made the decision. Good friend invited me to go to youth group. I went to youth group. There, it was there that I was loved. I was loved unconditionally. I was loved as I was. I was introduced to the person called Jesus. I was told that He came to restore hope, restore purpose, and restore love to humanity, including me. I made the decision to give my life to Him, to follow Him. And since then, my life has been a whole lot better than what it was way back. But I also found a family to belong to. I'm currently living out my purpose, and I'm currently loving my purpose. Every time that I go to Jesus, He answers me. He can do the same for you. Would you like to know more about Jesus? 1 minute and 40 seconds. Doesn't take long. Share your story. Share what God has done to you. Expect that when you share, Holy Spirit will move powerfully. You don't have to do the convicting. You've got to do the sharing. Holy Spirit does the convicting. You've got to do the sharing. And this is what we've got to know at all times. You don't need to be a theologian. Just share what Jesus has done in your life. And the outcome is what? This is the outcome. Mark 16:17-18. And these signs will follow those who believe. Only you? No. That person whose face you get into. That person whose space you get into. That person who says yes to Jesus. God will use them as mightily as what He will use you. Because they believe. Just of late, we have had a number of folk that have called Yuma East home come to us and say, God has spoken. We need to go. We had Rocky Grudier. He left us and he's gone to Romania. He was always in the second service. He's gone to Romania, to YWAM, because God has said, and he was being obedient. We had Winnie last weekend, was it last week? Everybody knows Winnie, beautiful, loving. But she came to us and she goes, I'm going back to Singapore. She may not be here, but guess what about Winnie? She's not at Numa East, but she's at Numa Singapore, helping Pastor Alvin preach the gospel. Hey guys, this is one kingdom. It's one family. This weekend will be our very last for the beautiful Kate and her family, Jude, Eliza, Amelia. We said goodbye to the kids at the first service. Kate is and the Costello family feel as well that their season here is complete. Their season here, their mission that was here is complete. They've heard God go. Prophetically, she got a word to go. I give you permission. Go. Guess what? We celebrate that. We celebrate Rocky. We celebrate Winnie. Why do we celebrate? We don't go into a tiz when people leave. We celebrate because it's one kingdom. It's one family. As long as they go and they continue building his kingdom, wherever they get planted, and that was my word to Jude and Eliza and Amelia this morning, go and get planted because a pot plant does not function 100%. God didn't create plants to be in pots. Take that analogy as you want. But anyway, I just want to say this to Kate. Kate, thank you for, you even served. Your last day, you served in kids today. You're such an inspiration. Thank you for sticking it out. Thank you sticking through all the dramas that you've gone through in life and the challenges. But you've been here constantly. You and Jude and Eliza, been on the stage, playing, singing. It's just been Amelia. As well, we've just seen her in this past 80 months that I've known her just shoot up physically as well as maturing. We celebrate you. We celebrate you. We bless you. May you thrive. May you flourish. May you bear fruit. May you advance his kingdom. We say to you, go and preach the gospel to all the nation. Come on, let's give her a massive round of applause. I also said this, I said it to them, I say this to everybody, to Rocky, to Winnie, there was somebody else at that going to Tasmania? Kelly. During the break, I want to say this to you as well. This is your family. Come and give us a hug anytime. Come and say hello, come and visit us. You're more than welcome, anytime. All right, love ya. Whew, let me move on. I am sensing, and I'm coming to an end, I am sensing that there is a fresh fire coming upon God's people to share the good news with boldness. I am sensing this. No longer will the church be afraid of rejection. For you know what? God is placing his words in your mouth. He is placing his words in your mouth. The message you carry is anointed. The message you carry will break chains. The message you carry will heal hearts. The message you carry will restore lives. And I want to say to you, watch as the Father confirms his words through miracles, signs, and wonders that will follow you all the days of your life. This is your time. The team can join me, please. It's not time to be passive. It's not time for passivity. This is a year of radical obedience, which means action. It means go. To literally walk across the room, to literally walk across the yard, to literally walk across the road and talk to the person that God has put in front of you. Not only talk to them, encourage them, love them, that when you walk away, they are so touched by the presence of God that surrounds you that they're going, hey, I want more of what you have. Amen? The world around you is waiting for you. For you. Not for JJ. To preach on this pulpit. The world around you is waiting for you. Let me put it differently. The community around you is waiting for you. Because when we use world, we think out there. Geographical. No. The community around you is waiting for you to fulfill what God has commanded. They are waiting for you. They are waiting for you as sons and daughters of God to do what? To share the good news of hope, life, and love. Don't come and tell me that you are not in proximity of unbelievers. I want to say that is a lie from hell. Every single person is in the proximity of an unbeliever. When you're walking down the pathway, when you're crossing the road to go to your car, when you're in that shopping mall, when you're at school, when you're queuing up to go to the footy, guess what? The people around you may not know Jesus. The people around you could be hurting. The people around you could be lost. You are in proximity of the lost. You are in proximity of the broken, the hurting, the sick, the disease. You can be effective. What do we need to do? Just go and walk across the room. Jesus has commissioned you. Holy Spirit has empowered you. Now go. Go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Folks, church, friends, visitors. You may be visiting us today going, my gosh, this guy's intense. Sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I'm sorry, but I'm not sorry. This is my passion. Are you ready? Are you ready to say yes to the call? Is God stirring you right there where you are? Is God stirring you to respond to this call, to step into boldness, to move in the supernatural? Is He stirring you? Just close your eyes. Check. Are you being stirred? Maybe your hands are clammy. Maybe you're feeling right uncomfortable right now. You know, maybe that's just God stirring you. This is the moment. This is the moment. My question to you is this. Will you say, here I am, Lord. I will go. Not send me. Not send me. He's already sent you. He's already sent you. Go and make disciples. Go and preach the gospel. He's already sent you. The question I have for you is, will you say, here I am, Lord. I will go. If that is in your heart this morning, I'd like you to stand because I have a prophetic prayer that I want to declare over you in Jesus' name. If you are ready to say, I will go, I will go. If you're not ready, that's fine. That's understandable. Don't be pressured to stand because somebody else is standing. This is you and God. Close your eyes there where you are. That'll be great. Hold your hands out to receive. This is our posture to receive. Because I'm going to release a declaration over you this morning. This is you receiving that declaration. I declare today, the days of a powerless Christianity are over. I declare today, God's church, that is you, will be known again as a house of miracles. I declare that you will step out in faith and you will see blind eyes open and the lame walk and the captives set free. I declare that God is busy restoring the book of Acts in your midst and you will play a role to see that fulfilled. I declare you are called. You are called by Him. You are chosen by Him. You are anointed by Him. Right now, I release the anointing of God afresh upon every single person. The Lord is with you. I declare that there are doors that are opening before you. I declare that it is your season of activation. Watch and see God move in power through your obedience. Through your obedience. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just remain like that. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I really feel that there's an activation that is busy happening right now that He is releasing. You may not sense it, but supernaturally something is happening in this room. Father, I thank you that this is a season of activation. Father, I come up against the spirit of complacency. I come up against the spirit of intimidation. I come up against the spirit of fear that has so cloaked your church for centuries. I say no more, no more, no more. Satan, get your little grubby hands off of the church. I declare right now that this place, that every single person that is here is free. There's freedom in the house. They are free. And Lord God, that the words that they speak will be words that will shift atmospheres. Words that they speak will be words that will open the blind eyes, that will even raise the dead back to life. I thank you that the words that they speak will be words of life. And I thank you, Father God, that even in that time, power will be released upon every single person as they speak. I pray, Father God, that you will zone their eyes in to see, that they will focus and have clarity to see your will and your way. Father God, as they look up, as they get that text message, that they will have the opportunity, Lord God, to say, who are you showing me, Lord? And then, Father God, the boldness of the Lion of Judah will be upon them, and they will walk across the room, and lives will be transformed. I declare that these people are blessed beyond measure, Father God. Blessed beyond measure. These are sons and daughters of the Most High God. I thank you, Father God, that every lie that has been spoken, every negative word that has been spoken over them is nullified now in Jesus' name. It's nullified, Lord God. I plead the blood of Jesus upon them. Wash them clean. Wash them clean, Father God. Make their ears open that they can hear your word and the prompting of your Spirit afresh in Jesus' name. Father, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise for what you have done here. I declare, Melbourne East, you will never be the same again. Victoria, you will never be the same again. We call Victoria Jesus' state. I declare, the nation of Australia will never be the same again. Father, as we prayed for that cyclone in Queensland, you heard, you stopped it in its tracks. You downgraded it. Although the negative words were spoken, you downgraded it, Lord God. You are a mighty God. Father, I pray that power and might that you release then, you'll release upon every single person standing today in Jesus' name. Put your hand on your heart. Say this, I receive that for myself. Put your hand, just keep your hand there. Just keep your hand there. God reminded me of the vision I had in the first service, where there's a key, a big key, that's coming in and unlocking. It's unlocking and releasing. It's unlocking big doors, nearly like a dungeon. It's like it's been locked up on the inside of you. God says, no more will it be locked up. The passion and the fire has been released in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. We bless you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Can we sing?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6, verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death. And a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.